Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go. You'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Josh, and today we are going to dive into the topic of activating a city. We've been stewarding that in our own community. Clint Haley and I have been doing that through this broadcast. We've done it through living room worship sets, 24-hour worship sets with multiple churches in multiple locations. And another way we steward that is through media. And today for the intro portion of the program, we're going to play a short clip from a video series that we've been doing called Heirloom, Adopted as Heirs to the Kingdom, Woven Together in Love. Here we're featuring episode one with Howie Nunnally.
So I was sitting eating some hot wings one day. Where all good revelation happens, you know. And in the midst of one seasoned wing after another, I start thinking about this finished work of the cross, you know, in the book of Hebrews and the sacrifice. And it just hit me that, like, the cross didn't happen, like, just in this vacuum. You know, scripture doesn't take place in a vacuum. At the cross, he saw me from afar off. So if he sees everything up until I go, yes, Jesus, he sees everything after that too. And so it really let me, I guess you could say, absorb, you know, that's a good word, absorb the fact that I wasn't getting a shutoff notice on my salvation, you know, and the inheritance wasn't gonna be just like pried from my cold, dead fingers, you know, one day. I wasn't gonna get a door hanger that says, well, you know, you didn't quite measure up yesterday, so you know, at the end of this week, you know, if you don't have the proper payment, we're going to shut off your salvation. And I don't know, for me that was like so freeing. I was able to then move on from those things that, you know, so easily beset me, and I was really able to let those things go because I was always coming back to it, going, okay, well, I didn't have proper payment for that. You know, can you run my credit card again, Jesus? You know? And so I was just like racking up, you know, a credit bill that I couldn't pay the interest on. I couldn't even make the minimum monthly payment, man. And so that's whenever I realized that, I was like, man, okay, now I can get into sonship, if you want to call it that. I can like, I'm a part of the family? Like, really? That's what it is? So that was like the starting point for it, all around a bowl of hot wings.
You can catch the rest of that episode in video format at nextgenworship.com. Excited about the show today. Clint and Haley will be joining me when we come back, and we'll be talking about activating a city.
The single mom raising kids alone. The woman headed back to school to start a new career. The woman loving and cherishing children that you didn't get to birth. The single woman who isn't waiting for a man to help you really live your adventure. The brave mom who homeschools. The brave mom who doesn't. The businesswoman. The lady preacher who's going against the religious flow. Every day, you fight for what is right and good and healthy. You wage war against dysfunctional patterns and habits in your own life and in the world around you by living with a heart that is becoming whole and healthy. You were made with a beautiful mind that solves problems and a beautiful body that creates and sustains life. You are Wonder Woman. Look around you, see the beautiful ones, and champion them.
Empowering women to thrive. Ladies, catch an all-new episode of the On Fire Podcast tomorrow at onfirepodcast.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we slinging hope, y'all. It's Hope Dealers with Aaron Garcia. We're going to be talking about the infection of hope. So join us for that show next week. Today, we're talking about activating a city. A little bit later on the show, we'll be sitting down with Daryl Billings and discussing this a little bit further in detail. But let's talk about this.
Yeah.
What do we mean by activating a city?
Well, first of all, we have to understand that activating a city is really part of our Father's heart. A lot of our history as the Western Church, we've been very focused on salvation. And so we definitely don't want to take away from that. But we want to add to it this emphasis that Jesus carried. He said, disciple nations.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about not only populating heaven, but we're talking about releasing heaven on earth. And that's so important, especially like I was just reading Ephesians 1 this morning. I love the Message translation because it talks about the church is not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. And what that says to me is that what we believe changes the world.
Yeah.
And so that's really what Next Gen Worship has been about, is empowering world changers. How do we do that? What empowers a world changer? What kinds of things do world changers think about? Well, first of all, they think about filling everything in every way with his presence. And of course, that's another part of that scripture out of Ephesians 1. But Jesus' heart for the body is speaking and acting and filling everything with his presence. That sounds like, first of all, a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
But second of all, it says to me that people were born to be empowered by heaven to carry the atmosphere of heaven, to see the transformation of heaven happen on earth. So then that kind of broadens your scope. Oh, I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know Jesus wanted us to change the world. Yes, we're here to change the world. Let's start with ourselves, our family, and our church, and our city. Let's include the city in this. Let's dream about our city. Big things are happening in our city, and big things are happening in people. And I think the root of activating a city, you have to activate a life.
Mm, wow. And you know, you can't activate your city if you hate your city.
Mm-mm-mm.
You can't empower anybody if you hate being there. So you have two options. If you hate where you live, you should either leave and find somewhere else to live, or you can ask the Lord to help you love your city. For a long time, I really struggled with this. I really hated everywhere I lived. I just, everywhere we would live, I wanted to get out. I felt trapped. And I just decided that I needed to ask the Lord to tell me what he loves about this place. Because a lot of people are like that, especially where we are in the Midwest. They feel trapped, it's small, you're isolated. Or mm-hmm. You can ask the Lord, what does he love? What does he love about where we are? Because he does love it.
Yeah, he does. You said the focus has been salvation, which is important. I mean, that
Absolutely.
Is the catalyst to kingdom activity,
right?
So once we're filled with the Spirit, we need to activate the gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how we do that in house fires. That's infiltrated the church. I mean, we're beginning a house fires type atmosphere in our church where we're allowing people, giving them permission to flow in the gifts. And we're seeing people that have never prophesied before begin to prophesy and declare things. We've seen people that have been timid and reserved in that taker position, like getting something from the message or getting something from the worship into a place of release and declaration and giving of themselves and laying themselves down, and it's just being activated in them. So I think it's important in activating a city that we activate the church and that we give place for people to be able to move and build one another up in the Spirit and activate those gifts of the Spirit that are in their hearts, because God has given every man the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the prophecy is released in a room full of believers, then they are equipped. They're built up, Ephesians 4 says. That's why the gifts were given, so that we become one, and then we can mobilize and go out and change the world.
Yeah. I love that story you were telling us of a testimony. Why don't you share that testimony of the lady who had never prophesied? Because that's a nice little description of a journey that someone took from powerlessness to being empowered.
Yeah. We have a local ministry that we're partnered with Next Gen and also with Impact Life in his hands, and they basically restore women's lives. They're a home. They bring women in that are in bad situations, and they just pour the love of God into their hearts. They go everywhere there's anything going on
where his presence is hosted. Mm-hmm. And you see these ladies come from a place of no purpose and brokenness to restoration. One of those ladies was at a meeting we had this past Wednesday at Impact, and we were having a house fire setting in the round in the middle of the room, and it was beautiful. There was, you know, Song of the Lord and encouraging words and declarations, and
people were participating.
Absolutely. And it was just like a freeing thing, because it's like a big old drink of water to a parched person. Because whenever you start to activate the gifts in a setting like that, I mean, it's something that the church doesn't normally participate in.
Yeah.
You know, you come, you sing some songs, you listen to a guy teach for a little while, and then you fellowship a little bit and go home. But to really participate, to really like contribute to the meeting is not something you do normally in a church setting.
Right.
You might do it in a cell group or home group or something. Mm-hmm. But she felt compelled to speak up, and she said, real timidly, I feel like somebody needs hope in this room, that they've lost some things in life that, you know, they need them restored.
Mm.
And I said, well, declare those things to this room. And she took a deep breath and she said, I don't know how.
Mm.
And so I just spoke the truth of God's word to her. I said that you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, been given gifts to prophesy, to call things that are not as though they were, to bind things on earth that will be bound in heaven, loose things on earth that will be loosed in heaven. I just want to encourage you to open your mouth and declare hope to this room and restoration. And so she started off really timid, kind of like, dear God, I just want to, I want to, you know, let there be hope. And by the end of her declaration, she was just declaring with authority and power. The Holy Spirit came upon her and helped her and came alongside her and encouraged her from within.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see the activation of the power of God in his church and his people. It's powerful.
And that's going to be a calendar moment for her. That will be the moment where everything changed for her life again, and she became empowered to advance the kingdom. And we've told stories, but people have no purpose, no hope, especially coming from a broken background. Like, you know, I'm starting below ground zero here. I have got to have a major hope injection in my life. And for us, we love telling these stories because they just had an encounter that no one can ever take away. And that encounter is going to propel them into places of influence. And in order to activate a city, to see a city activated, you have to see the people that live there empowered to carry something supernatural. And love Paul so much because he talks about this all the time. We're not just in word and deed. Word and deed is great. But we carry power. We do things in power. We do things through the power of God, through Holy Spirit. And we have said this many times, but it fits so well here. The breakthroughs that happen when we're together as the body of Christ affect our city. They affect our region. We use a language like it shifts the atmosphere over our entire city. What's the purpose for that? Well, going back to Ephesians 1, I'm just in this part of the Bible today where the things that happen in the world go according to what happens in the church. The world's peripheral to our breakthrough. Our breakthrough is necessary for the world's freedom.
Yeah.
Well, just start applying that to Joplin, Missouri. This is where we live. Our breakthrough affects our city. And I feel like if we can get people to believe that, even at that one person level where she starts out, I don't know how, but then all of a sudden she knows how. It's not because somebody taught her. It's because she partnered with someone.
That's right.
That turns people from a consumer to a contributor.
That's right.
And if we want to change our city, we have to be contributors. We can't just be a land of consumers.
That's right. You know what I love the most about salvation and believing in Jesus is that we have the joy and the ability to die to our own opinion, to die to everyone else's opinion about us. It really sets us on kind of a mission from God.
Yeah.
You know, so we can actually go do stuff without being inhibited by offense and all that other stuff, because you don't really care about that stuff anymore, because it's the truth that sets us free. And we're free from ourselves. We're free from other people, and we're free to do what he's called us to do.
Yeah. You see this a lot where people strongly prefer preferences. Preferences rule how they act, how they interact. And we have replaced preference with presence, or we're endeavoring to anyway.
I love that.
You know, when we put the presence at the center of the room, when we create a culture that's centered around the presence, think back to the tribes of Israel marching out of Egypt. God sent a strong message, camp around my presence. And they did. Their culture was based on presence. Whatever it did, they followed. And so we're endeavoring so hard to create a culture, a family with a presence at the center that responds to presence and does exploits in their city.
That's so true. I'm excited about it. I wish we could talk about it longer. Activating a city, talking a little bit more about this when we come back with Daryl Billing. Stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Recently, there has been an opening for sponsorship of the program. If your group or organization would like to sponsor the Next Gen Worship broadcast, please email us info@nextgenworship.com. This is a powerful way to partner with a movement that is inspiring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Become a sponsor of the Next Gen Worship broadcast today. Find out more information at nextgenworship.com or submit your request for sponsorship via email info@nextgenworship.com. And thank you for supporting the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Aaron Garcia, and we're going to be talking about hope dealers, something that's happening in our region and regions around the world, injecting hope into our culture. Aaron's got a great story to tell, so we'll be talking with him next week. Today, we've been talking about activating a city, and we're fortunate to further discuss this with Daryl Billings.
Welcome, Daryl Billings, to the show once again.
Hey, it's nice to be back.
You're a regular on our show. You're one of the Papa Bears in our community and part of our team, and we just love you. For those that don't know you, give us a quick story. Tell us who Daryl Billings is.
Well, Daryl Billings is 65, retired. I'm of that generation. People would think they should go out to pasture, and that's not for me. Yep. God told me that David started in the pasture and ended up in the palace. So,
oh, that's good.
I'm really loving the palace life, but it's busier than ever. 17 years with the Conservation Department as a game warden, 16 years as a teacher of biology in high school, and all of that has been ministry. But where I am right now is we did the House of Prayer here in Joplin, Missouri, and it was pray and worship, and it was really fantastic. And then God told me, so now you know my heart, get out of here. So I've been doing what you might call street ministry. Mm-hmm. I've just been doing the demonstration of God's love on the street, and we've seen healing, and we've seen salvations, and we've seen great blessings, and we just have had good friendship with people.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that strikes me about you is that you are a forerunner and a trailblazer, but not only in actions, but in the way you think. And that's so important, especially in the kingdom, because what we believe changes the world. And yeah, a lot of times you find, you know, people in a smaller believing than maybe what's possible. And we have these conversations all the time. So the topic of our show today is activating a city, and you're super involved at the city level. But I wonder if you just share your heart with us about what you're thinking about these days, what you're believing, some of the things the Lord's showing you.
Well, what I'm believing, which leads me to what I'm thinking about, is God keeps putting in my face all the time that nothing is impossible with God. That for man, nothing is possible. But when we partner up with God, there is no limit. There is no secular or holy. It's all holy when we are with God. And so if it's not legal in heaven, as we've said so many times, then it's not legal on the earth. So I'm going after the things I cannot yet see in the natural, but I know they're there in the supernatural because God says they are. So when you run across things like somebody who's down and out, then you can speak prophecy into them. You can speak promises into them. When you run across somebody who's hurting and maybe lame or blind or deaf, then you go after speaking healing to them, recognizing that God wants it too. God wants his people to be completely whole, without spot, wrinkle, or blame. Jesus ran across a man with an injured hand, and the man wanted to be healed, Jesus didn't heal everybody, but those the Father presented to him, he healed every one of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm always presented with the fact of 1 John 4:17 that as he is, so are we on this earth, that Jesus said we will do these things and even greater things. And it boils down to the fact that someday I'm going to stand before the Father and the Father is going to say, well done, good son and servant. Or else he's going to say, you know, here were some things that if you had been a little bit more bold, this person would not have had to suffer.
Mm.
And so my heart goes out to that person who's suffering, but it also goes out to my own heart that says, you know, I don't want to be the cause of somebody suffering or the cause of the Father saying to me, I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I missed it. I know there's going to be times he's going to bring that to my recollection because he's doing it right now. But I'm believing in as much as the Father will allow me to believe, and he tells me that there is no limit to what we can do.
Mm-hmm. We're based out of the Midwest here in very traditional type believing, very strong belief in salvation. Any church you go to, pretty much you're going to hear a salvation message. How do we bridge the gap between this great revelation of salvation and then taking the next step and moving the body of Christ into discipling nations? How do we cross that bridge in your mind?
Well, for me, it was what and whom am I saved for?
Mm.
I'm saved for a relationship with Christ and the Father and Holy Spirit. I'm saved for a kingdom style life in which, like I've been talking about, is that nothing's impossible. Salvation is not a one-time thing. It's not to get you to heaven. It's to get you to bring heaven to earth.
Mm, that's so good.
When there's heaven on earth, we have no clue of what it really is like. But you know, when you go to an amusement park, you may have seen the brochures, but you really don't know what it's really like until you buy the ticket and you walk into the park and you start riding the rides.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing in the kingdom. I didn't know that people could be healed until I was 60. And I went,
wow.
Wow. Yeah, I went, wow. Why haven't I done this earlier in my life? But I found it. And so I want to say to your generation, which is the 40s, and I want to say to the 20s generation, hey, take this, run with this. It's possible. I can't tell you all the steps because I'm doing my steps and you got to find your steps. How do you take it to a city? You just get out there and meet with people.
Mm-hmm.
And God will open doors left and right. I'm seeing things in Joplin that are just beyond my imagination from the beginning. I've seen God giving effective ministries, whole buildings,
mm-hmm.
and then asking them, what are you going to do with this building?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and of course, they're saying, well, God, how can we effectively use this in the community? And so there's all this stirring of the pot, and it's so good. Mm-hmm. And ideas begin to flow left and right, and finances begin to come, and prayer begins to come, because sometimes the finances don't come. And when you finally say, God, why haven't I had a breakthrough, and God says, because I enjoy the time you spend with me in prayer, because you probably wouldn't do that otherwise.
Yeah. Kind of between the lines here, I'm hearing you talk about partnership with God.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that's huge on your heart. I wondered if you'd just kind of touch on that for a minute, because it seems like a lot of people feel like he's far away. They don't get the understanding that we've been made one with him, that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Talk about partnership a little bit and how crucial it is to stepping into the things of the kingdom.
There's a desire to know him because I've been with him. And when I'm with him, he reveals himself to me. And there were times when I was younger that I could sense God in worship. Worship is my thing. And I would feel the fullness of his presence on me. And as I spent more time with him, I began to realize it wasn't the music. It was his presence.
Hmm.
And when I recognize that he is with me always, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he will not forsake me. He will not leave me. In that, I recognize, as I'm doing right now, I'm just in touch with him. I'm just overwhelmed with his pleasure and the fact that I'm saying, hey, Papa, you're here. It's like when I got home and my daughter was 2 years old. She jumped up And she says, "That's my daddy." I mean, my heart melted right there. Mm-hmm. And scripture in Song of Songs says, "Oh, my sister, my bride, with one glance of your eyes, you've captured my heart." And that's how I recognize I'm with God. And then the more I'm with him, the more I know him, the more I know his heart, and I know the things he wants for us. It's just turning your head towards him, putting your focus on him, and just stop being a beggar and being a two-year-old who pops up and says, "That's my daddy."
Mm-hmm.
He'll pick you up and love on you.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. You mentioned worship, kind of wrapping up here. Give us your thoughts on the necessity and the power of worship and his presence in getting people activated into who they are and to what they were born to be.
Well, we're all called to be worshipers. And I think there are so many different ways to worship. I've got friends who are touched by God by just reading scripture. And that's worship.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of us who are moved by music. I believe God used music as a doorway into our heart. And so if you can get into a music that touches your heart, then God's going to resound. He's going to come into resonance with the frequency of your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
God is expanding worship for us. I love music, and I love the way you guys can get into it. I've always, you know, we got a history, you and I, of about 17 years and maybe 19, 20 years. And you've always been a worship leader. From the first strum of the guitar, you bring the presence of God for me. And now that's expanded. Music is a great way to get into it. But it's all about turning your head to God and recognizing him.
Mm-hmm.
When God said to Moses, "Get my people and go out into the desert and worship me," he wasn't talking about a hootenanny. He was talking about a joining with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's many different ways. It's just, if one doesn't work for you, try another one. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Until you connect with Papa's heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of wrapping up here, I wonder if you would just declare some things over those listening. We're always going after awakening. We're always going after encounters that awaken people. Just declare some stuff over us that's going to help us awaken to who we are, maybe even shed some lies that we're believing, and kind of come into, as you put it, resonation with him.
Yeah. Well, we all are the light of the world, and God has placed us into different parts of the world to let our light shine. And so I declare to you that you have light. I declare to you that your light is bright, that God will send you into the darkness, and he will allow you to let your light shine, that men will see your good deeds, and the Father will get all the glory, and that the kingdom of God will expand right where you are. He's given you a city. He's given you communities. He's given you states. He's given you your nation. He's given you the nations. And we're responsible with what he gives us. So go after it. Make your father happy.
That's really good. Daryl, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Hey, I love it.
So great to have Daryl Billings with us on the program, one of our fathers here in our community, and such a great voice speaking hope, which is what we're going to be talking about next week as we discuss hope dealers with Aaron Garcia. You definitely want to tune in for that episode. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.